Coach, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing very well. You're gearing up for the season. Just had your media day. Practices in full effect. And I know you're just kind of gearing up for that.
Yeah, you know, it's been a busy couple weeks, that's for sure. And, you know, we're excited about the season. I think we're, you know, we have a lot of new kids and freshmen that I think will be really impactful, and that's exciting. You know, now it's just about getting them that experience they need to succeed at a high level.
Now, how were you able to have practice start a couple of weeks earlier than the men?
Well, the women are smarter than the men. No, actually, it is kind of true. Through our, the men have their men's basketball coaches association. We have a women's basketball coaches association, and our, you know, our constituents, all of the women's coaches, really got together and just felt like, you know, we recruit these kids to be basketball players, not spend all their time in the strength, you know, with strength and conditioning coaches. So we really felt like, you know, it'd be more of an advantage for us to practice, have a few more practice opportunities. So we instituted last year a rule where you count back 40 days from your first game and you have 30 practice opportunities, which basically what that comes down to, like Izzo started practice after Midnight Madness. You know, his group will probably have 11 or 12 more practice opportunities than he does before they play North Carolina.
All right, Coach, life issues happen on campus, and I wanted to get your take just to see if you have heard or talked about it, and also if your players have talked about it. There have been several instances where negative things have been written or hung in effigy or said to members of the black population, of the student population at Michigan State University. Have your players, have you heard about that? Has it been talked about?
You know, we haven't really gotten there yet. I mean, I really, you know, our kids are, you know, pretty focused, pretty busy, and not that they're not aware, but it certainly hasn't come up as a topic for us here in women's basketball.
And you have a challenge. One of your leaders, one of your great players, became a mom, and she is trying to juggle that and a little bit of school and basketball. And if she has a good role model to look at in handling that, it's you trying to do the same thing when you were coaching and had your baby.
Well, yeah, you know, it's interesting. It's like, I think on one side it's good that I get it, you know, and I understand what she's going through. I think the bad side is that I get it, you know. You know, I know it's a little overwhelming and it takes a village kind of in our world, I know from my perspective. And, you know, LaKendra's in the same situation. I mean, she does have a lot of help and a lot of support, not only from Michigan State and her teammates and her coaches, but certainly her family and, you know, on the other side too. So I really believe that if anybody can do it, she can. I mean, you look at her and she was 5 months pregnant when she played her last NCAA tournament game of Defensive Player of the Year and basically pregnant, you know, through the entire season. So, you know, if anybody kind of has a little bit of toughness and focus to her, it's certainly her.
And Coach, as a dad, I've watched Coach Izzo deal with a couple of instances where he had to have players leave the program, where he had to discipline other players who wouldn't listen. And then looking at where they were and where they are, especially those players who are here and were fighting against the system, to see them kind of come back lean and mean and happy and understanding why Coach Izzo did what he did. How do you see that unfold as it has over time? And were you privy to talk with Coach about how he handled that?
You know, he does such a great job with his guys. I mean, you know, I think that's a tribute to him and certainly what he's built there and the atmosphere he creates. He's a very inclusive, very team-oriented guy, but he also understands, you know, competing at the highest level. And sometimes when we get these players, we're the first people in some instances, not all, but in some instances that have really held them accountable and to a higher standard than they're even understanding they're capable of. So, You know, for Izzo, maybe some of the guys that he's had to push a little bit, you know, they got an entourage of people around them telling them they're great, you know, which they are talented, but now it's about, you know, raising the bar. And we're the first people, sometimes they get the first line of, hey, maybe you're not all that, and maybe you need to work on this, and you need improvement in this area. So, you know, that accountability piece is something I think as coaches, you know, you really just try to instill in your players. And sometimes, unfortunately, we're the first ones they've ever heard it from.
Coach, how do you get a player to trust you? Is it in the recruiting process before they get there? Is it afterwards? Is it a combination? Because I know with the yelling and the direction and the putting them in the right place and helping them grow, that can be perceived as yelling and being negative. Where does that trust, where is that built?
You know, I think it probably does start in the recruiting process. You know, there's usually obviously a strong connection that they feel towards the coaches and the coaching staff. But I think it's, you know, it's just like anything else. I mean, I think it's earned over time. You know, you can't make people instantly respect you. You can't make people instantly, you know, want to run through the wall for you. I think you have to, as a coach, you know, push them at the same time, know that you can put your arm around them. And to have that combination, you know, really with your players of pushing and then at the same time encouraging. And, you know, I talk all the time about, you know, there's a difference between being demanding and being demeaning. You know, it's okay for a coach to be demanding of you, but, you know, I don't ever try to do it in any way that would be demeaning to a player. And I think that's kind of where you build that trust.
All right, before we let you go, the season upcoming for the Spartans, are you going to be able to compete for a championship, and who are you going to have to fight through to get it done?
You know, we believe that. We're excited. You know, we do think we have some key people and some really talented kids that can fight and defend our title. You know, there's a lot of teams, I think, that are up there. I mean, I certainly think Purdue has everybody back. I think Penn State will be up there in Iowa as well. Ohio State's always, they're interesting. They lost the four-time player of the year, so will it be interesting in a different look for them.
All right, well, in watching several games last year, I came away thinking, now here's Susie Merchant, a very soft-spoken person. I've heard you in practice where you could be a little vocal, but here's Susie Merchant, very soft-spoken, and I tell you what, that team got after it. They were physically imposing their will. They were tough. They didn't give up anything easily. I walked out of those games thinking, man, I'm glad I'm not playing against those ladies, because they were beastly the way they played defense and scrapped.
Yeah, well, hopefully you come to practice, and I think, I don't know if I'm as soft-spoken. I can guarantee you that.
All right, Coach Susie Merchant with the Michigan State Women's Basketball Program, thanks so much for your time. We'll see you very soon.
All right, thanks, Tony. Thanks for having me.